You're listening to IsraelScene.com. And you're listening to IsraelScene.com. Listening to IsraelScene.com.
Seen through the eyes of Steve, that's myself.
And you're on.
Two characters passionate about everything that happens in Israel.
IsraelScene.com.
IsraelScene.com.
You're listening to Israel Scene. I'm Steve.
And this is Yoram.
So, Yoram, what do we have in store for us today?
You know, we just finished an election, and we actually just yesterday, I think, put in a government. And a lot of people realize what a messy process this was and what a potentially incompetent government this is about to be when we, in point of fact, are sitting in a very, very serious situation economically, like most of the rest of the world. And from a security point of view, like very few other places in the world in relation to Hezbollah and Hamas and Iran and on and on. And the whole governmental system here is really crying out for some kind of change. And just before this election, I interviewed Joel Beinerman, who has a brand new idea on how to structure the governmental system in this little area. And I thought it would be interesting to listen to him and to give it some consideration. I don't think anybody's thought of this solution.
Well, I find it fascinating, and certainly I hope our listeners will too. So let's give a listen.
We're sitting in the Jerusalem Cinematheque. It's the first time we've been here for an interview. We usually interview in Emek Rephaim or downtown. Interviewing Joel Beinerman. I hope I have the name properly pronounced. Beinerman. And Joel has been a correspondent, a journalist in the area of economics and high-tech in Israel, and has recently involved himself in another project. And I wanted Joel to tell us about this new project that he's involved with.
Oh, thank you, Yoram. The research that I did is called regional government, and I call it regional government so that you can understand that it's opposed to federal government, which is what we currently have in Israel. And under a regional government, there would be five regions in Israel. There would be the north, the central, Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, and in the south. And the population in these five areas would be fairly much the same, except for Tel Aviv, which would be a little bit larger. But the idea here is basically this. Instead of paying taxes to the federal government in Jerusalem and then having a government in Jerusalem allocating those monies back to the five different regions, here you raise your taxes locally both from VAT and from income tax, and the money stays in the region, in the five different regions, which is essentially what you have is five different governments in the five different regions, and you have a minister of health and a minister of industry and a minister of sport, a minister of culture. And if you had these five regional governments, you would have a much more responsive government. And that's the whole idea here, is instead of someone in Haifa having to go to Jerusalem to convince a bureaucrat in Jerusalem that they should build a new sports stadium in Haifa, well, that person will go to the regional government in Haifa and say, okay, you got our tax money, I'm a citizen here, I'd like to have a sports facility in Haifa. The other thing, the other major benefit of it is people, and I'll give you an example of in Haifa. Let's say you live in Haifa and you have a vast experience in the administration of health services, and you think you should be qualified to be the Minister of Health for the Haifa region. Now, today, if you wanted to do that, you'd have to join a party, you'd have to become part of the government, you'd have to get elected to that party, into the government, and then get appointed by the Prime Minister for that position. And here, obviously, the most qualified people do not become the minister of these various ministries. So here on the what you'll have is you'll have five ministers of health in the five different regions. And they will, of course, be accountable to the head of the government in that region. And they will coordinate with each other on various aspects of health and appropriation of health services. The most important aspect of this is, to understand, is that the money is raised locally and spent locally. So if people in Haifa feel that there's need for another hospital, they will go to their own government and say, we need to have another hospital. And this is particularly important in order to get good people, qualified people into government. Now, what's interesting about this is that you can put yourself up for the election of, let's say, the Minister of Health in Haifa without having to be part of a political party. And that's also key to this whole system, where instead of having to be aligned to a party to get somewhere, you're just going to be based on your on your own expertise and your own know-how. So in the regional level, you'll have a prime minister who will put them, or head of the regional government who will put himself up, and he'll be elected directly. You'll have the Minister of Health will be elected directly, not by the head of the government. And if there's five people that want to run for that position, five people will run. And this is the way it's done in many places in the United States. If a person wants to run for sheriff or attorney general or things like this, especially in the state government, they don't get elected on a party list. They get elected directly. So that's one aspect of it. Now, you have five in regional governments. You raise taxes locally. You allocate the taxes locally. Services are allocated locally. That improves the quality of the services, obviously. It improves the quality of the people administering the services. And then you have a federal government. Now, you have to have a federal government for two or three functions, for the Army and for foreign affairs. That's basically the two. There's a few others, let's say, in monetary policy and things like that, because don't forget, we're not talking about five different countries. You're still talking about the same country, just divided up into five different regions. So my plan is you take the five regions, you allocate 10 members of Knesset for every region. Those people are directly elected by the people in the region without the need to be associated with a political party, and they sit in the Knesset. So the Knesset has 50 seats, and those 50 Knesset members deal with the issues of security and foreign affairs. The foreign minister, the defense minister, and the prime minister can all be elected directly. Because, again, you don't need political parties on the national level either, because you have no need for them, because they don't allocate money and allocate resources. And like in anything, if you follow the money, this is what you come to. You realize that once you take the money out of the current system, there's nothing for the politicians to fight over. So therefore, they'll probably, the existing ones, will go home. They'll go back to their jobs because there's nothing to be gained. Now, what are the advantages of this? First of all, you know, let's look at the various population. You've got the Israeli Jews. They're living very well now. They're paying a lot of taxes. They're getting lousy services. They've got the bureaucracy. They've got all the hatred towards the politicians. That whole mess, people seem to think that you'll clear it all up if you make a little change in the electoral system. Well, that's nonsense. You cannot change this electoral system to make it better. It is what it is. It should have been evolved years ago. It didn't. But what we really need now is not a way to change the current system to make a tiny little bit better. And don't forget, if you remember, a number of years ago, they did change it for two or three years, and they changed it right back. And certainly, obviously, things didn't improve. There's a couple of major advantages of the system. Let's get down to the one at the bottom. First of all, you have all these land holdings in Jerusalem owned by the ministries, which basically could be sold off. So you would see a real estate boom in Jerusalem. You would need all these buildings and all these land holdings for the federal government. You would need the defense ministry would run as it is today. It would be funded by the five different regions according to their population. So obviously the people in Tel Aviv will be much larger than the people in the south, but they'll pay the proportion of those federal expenditures, which is mostly army defense as well as debt repayment. Those are the two major, that's about a third of the budget actually in Israel. Everything else, the federal government won't have to be supportive because there'll be nothing to support because they won't give out services, they won't allocate anything. There won't be ministers other than the two or three crucial ministries, and therefore you'll have a very, very, very limited, small federal government. Now, on the regional level, of course, the person who runs the regional government, they will have to make sure that the money coming in through taxes locally and on regional basis is enough to pay for the expenditures, like it is in any other regional government. You know, one of the problems we have in Israel is we've got a big, huge federal government, and then we've got all these small, little local councils all over the place, and then we have the major city governments. If you go to each of the major five cities, they have their own government. And the problem with the local government, the mozot, is you can have a mozot for 6,000 people, 7,000 people, 8,000 people, huge amount of money expenditure, and most of it is not paid for by the local taxes of Arnona. Most of it comes through transfer payments from the Ministry of Interior. And this country has a huge problem where the Ministry of Interior has to keep funneling money into the various local councils who have the right, actually, believe it or not, to go to banks and take loans out that they know they'll never be able to pay back. But, of course, there's a crisis every 5 or 6 years, and the Ministry of Interior or the Ministry of Finance bails them out. So you've got to get rid of all of these smaller local councils. And what we have in Israel is we've got the big, major federal government, and then we've got the tiny little local councils. We have nothing in between. You have the five city governments. Now, those would probably be the basis of the infrastructure for the new regional government, because obviously a regional government is going to be in the capital city of where the region is, and you already have a local expertise in the allocation of services. So I'll give you an example of Haifa. If someone lives 20 kilometers outside of Haifa, instead of getting their local services, education and garbage collection and water and everything else from their own local council, they'd get it from the regional government 20 kilometers away. And that's really, you know, when you look at the rest of the world, that's the way the rest of the world operates. In England and the States and in Canada and other places, you have regional governments that deal with most of the aspects of what people get from their government. So obviously, taxes will be more efficiently spent. People will get a higher quality of services, because if you have an entrepreneur, let's say, in Haifa, who's got a new way to get rid of garbage disposal, well, he'll have no problem going to the Ministry of Sanitation in Haifa and having that program funded. If he tries to do it through Jerusalem, he'll spend 10 years doing it, and in the end, it'll never accept it. That's the real problem we face. We've got the highest quality people in the world, technologically and know-how entrepreneurialism, and yet they can't bust through the existing bureaucratic structure in order to get those things. So what happens is most of them form startups and they go abroad and they work abroad. And then you ask them after, how come you didn't do it in Israel? And we tried. The ministry of so-and-so wouldn't let us. So that's another big advantage of the system. Now, when I started doing this research, it was all based on money. It was all based on higher quality of government services. It was based on how to make the Israeli government more effective, more efficient, more reactive to the needs of the people. As time went on, though, I started looking at it from the perspective of what would change with the Palestinian-Israeli conflict or the Israeli-Arab-Israel conflict. Well, if we had the five regions in Israel, and let's say Israel annexed the West Bank, and leave Gaza out of the question for the moment. If Israel annexed the West Bank, the Arabs in Samaria, in the Shomron, would be part of either the northern region or the central region. The Arabs around the north of Jerusalem, east of Jerusalem, and even south of Jerusalem, the Gush Etzion, would be part of the Jerusalem region. And the Arabs around Hebron would be part of the southern region. So there's about 3 million Arabs in Israel, including Israeli Arabs, excluding Gaza. So those 3 million Arabs would be split into four. You could even meander a bit and put some into the Tel Aviv region, because Tel Aviv obviously is going to be the vast majority is going to be Jews. But what happens is when you take that, let's put it this way, the Israeli Arabs now will be split between the northern region and the central region. The Arabs in the Shomron will be part of the central region. So it's split up into four different areas. And what happens is that there is no demographic threat anymore, because the Arabs cannot possibly outvote the Jews in every single region, nor will they be able to outvote them in the federal level with the 50 Knesset members. So you now have a situation where you can give full political and civil rights to West Bank Arabs and not have a demographic issue. For the Israeli Arabs, though, now think of how much easier their lives will be when they fight for their rights and their what they believe is coming to them in a legislature based in Haifa as opposed to Jerusalem. Because in Haifa, it's going to be about you and the money and everything else that revolves around regional politics and everything. It's not going to be about them as Arabs like that is today in Jerusalem. So you've dethroned or defang the entire Israeli Arab problem, because now they are, and they have the possibility of becoming as equal as any other Israeli citizen. And I think it's important to understand is also is you don't have to spend 20 or 30 or 50 or $80 billion tearing down settlements, because obviously now you have a one-state solution, which I've been advocating for a long time, but it's not the one-state solution that the far left likes to talk about, where you have an Israeli-Palestinian or Arab-Israeli or Arab-Jewish state. It's really that one state is Israel, and the Arabs are equal citizens in that state. And economically for Israel, this would also be a huge, huge gain, because these would all be people now that can work in the labor force, that can, you know, we can now invest in the West Bank to upgrade the infrastructure there, because it's part of Israel, and we're all going to gain from that. Now, a lot of people say, well, the Palestinians don't get a state. And, well, you know, even without this, they're not, probably not going to have a state anyway. And even if they got a state, it wouldn't last very long anyway. And I think most people now, especially the Arab intellectuals, have come to the realization that there's probably not going to be a Palestinian state. So they're going to come to the realization that, well, if that's the case, then we want our rights in a one-state solution. Then Israel's going to have to be faced with this issue. Removing the military occupation, absolutely the best thing for the Palestinians ever. Having Israel being able to at least know what the future is going to be, and not to live in this limbo where we just keep it under military occupation, but we don't leave, also is much better. So this is really a win-win situation for absolutely everyone involved. It started out as being for Israeli citizens to get more for their tax money and their tax revenues, a more efficient government, more responsive. But it led into different areas, and I realized that there's so much more to be gained from it for other areas of Israeli life as well. Now, I put up a website called Azorim, azorim.org, and I put it up in English and Hebrew and Russian and Arabic, and I was hesitant to put up one of the pages that I wrote called How Regional Government Can Solve the Palestinian-Israeli Conflict, because I thought people on the right will accuse me of being a leftist and people on the left will accuse me of being a rightist, whatever. Maybe I'll wait for that a while before I put that one up. But on the website, there is 3 pages, that's all, even though I had 30, 40 pages of research and text. I put 3 or 4 pages up in those 4 languages, which describes exactly what the plan is and what the benefits are. And my goal right now is to start, I'm just actually waiting until the elections are over, to start approaching the press and get them at least to mention the website, get people to get a little enthused about it, because I truly believe that of all the, you know, suggestions I've heard to reform the Israeli political system, what you hear most of all is people saying how it needs to be reformed. You don't really hear a lot of suggestions on how it's to be done, and the ones that you do hear about how it's to be done, it's usually a change you here and change you there, and all of a sudden all the politicians are all going to change, and they're just going to be wonderful, and there's no more going to be bureaucracy or anything. So I think what we have to do is look at our system and say, well, 30, 40 years ago, a regional government may not have been practical. Israel today is 7 million inhabitants, another 2 million Arabs on the West Bank. That's, you know, 9 million people. That's a lot of people. And that's more than Denmark and more than New Zealand, more than Ireland. Mm-hmm. Yes, Israel is now a large country, and we can actually afford regional government. We need regional government.
Well, first of all, I'd like our listeners to know that we will have a map in our gallery that will show the division into the different regions so people can get an accurate depiction of what this would look like on the ground. And I feel, Joel, like you've answered all the questions even before I had a chance to ask them. A lot of the talk about changing the governmental system is to avoid a situation in which small parties, small interest groups, whether they're the Shas religious party or the Arab parties, will have an undue amount of influence over what the government does and how our money is spent and how our country is run. I could see where this may be able to mitigate that problem. And are there any other questions I should ask?
Well, it's an interesting, you know, the whole question of the parties. I mean, this is a system that doesn't need parties now. Doesn't need parties, and there's no reason to have them. Everyone is elected directly. Well, again, you take the budgets away. You need a tax rebellion to have this system in place. You need to have people saying, I'm no longer going to write my income tax check or my VAT check to the Minister of Finance in Jerusalem, but I will give that money to a local entity or a local regional government. Now, you have to obviously have a constitutional change in Israel or a constitution to begin with in order to change that the whole federal system of government. Although I should tell you, according to my research, there is no document that gives the federal government of Israel its structure. There's there's very little in terms of actual government documents. So we don't really have like they have in America, which describes differences in the government and separations of powers and things like that. We don't have any of that. So to change it, really, on the one hand, wouldn't be so difficult. Obviously, you mentioned these parties. Now, if you don't have a need for parties anymore, they're going to be the ones that oppose it. But I think once people realize that, you know, when you ask yourself, what do these parties actually do? We spend a fortune every year with their salaries and expenses and everything. What do they actually – they change about 7 or 8 laws a year. And most of those laws are quite minor. You know, they have committees and they have discussions. But what do they actually do? It's the ministries themselves that do all the real work on the ground, obviously. And a minister being, you know, the minister or the head of a particular ministry, he really doesn't have that much influence one way or the other. It may be a little bit here, a little bit there, if, you know, but for the most part, the ministry is run by the director general and the professional staff. So you ask yourself, what do we really need all these government officials? What do we need 120 Knesset members for and pay for their car and their salary and everything like that? For what? But what do they really actually do that we ourselves or locally or regionally can't do? You come to the conclusion that there's nothing that they really do. And the fact is that, you know, if you had five regional governments, you need some sort of, maybe some sort of coordination amongst them. Certainly, you know, if you get a traffic ticket in one area, is it applicable in another? So obviously the National Israel Police would still be there, although it would be in different regions. And the health services and every one of the existing ministries would still be there, but they would be split into five different regions, and those five different regions would have the power to tax and to budget. And that's the key. It's not the power just to dictate. It's where the money goes and where the money comes in. So if all the money is being raised locally from taxes and allocated to the, let's say, the local Ministry of Health in Haifa, then it doesn't really matter what happens to the other ministries, because they may be able to convince their government that we should get more money than, you know, proportionally the other regions are getting, because we have special needs. So that's when we get back to this whole idea of making a more reactive government that really, really does do what the public wants it to do, which today we are so far away from that. I mean, we're not even three steps through. We're nowhere. We just have no whatsoever. And, you know, I think unless that happens, what's going to happen is what more and more people are going to withdraw from the system. And withdraw from it everything, and along with that will come crime and things like that. So, you know, having a regional government allows people to get involved and allows people to contribute. It gives them this feeling that, hey, I'm part of something. Also, something I didn't mention is the five regions themselves can promote themselves internationally for all sorts of agreements and tourism and investment and things like that. Just like states in America have their own offices that do that, and in Canada the provinces do that, tourism, commercial cooperation and things like that, which, you know, you could still say, well, why shouldn't Israel do that on its own? Why do we need the five different regions to do it? It's because obviously the regions are going to do it better. Anything that's smaller gets usually done more efficiently than larger. And the things like the army, okay, you need the army, it has to be a national army. You can't have five different regional armies. So that makes sense. Your currency, obviously it has to be the same. Duty laws come, you know, import laws into Israel, things like that. The management of the airports. These are things, the border police will obviously remain in the hands of the federal government. But there's also the question about the justice, the judicial system. It has to be uniform, obviously. You can't have a situation where you flee to another region, therefore you. So you would have that, but certainly the administration of that system and where the courthouses will be in that region and how many judges we need in our region and things like that can be done locally and from the region.
Another one of the interesting facets, Joel, would be the resources. I mean, you have one region would have the Kinneret and all that water. Jerusalem would have the place where the water falls. The Tel Aviv, the coastal area, would have where the water is needed, and so the Negev, the southern area, would also have where water was needed, and other such complications.
Well, water resources would also be one of those things that would probably have to be managed federally. But you would probably have an incentive for certain areas to put some of their tax money into desalination plants and things like that, or other more innovative technologies that come from people in the region. But even today, I mean, the national tourism areas are really benefiting the local areas anyway, as it is today. You did mention the different regions about the size of population. Obviously, the south, even including, you know, Beersheva and all the way up to Kiryat Gat, you would want to include as much as you could in the south there. It would have Eilat. It would have the resources. And you know, you could argue that just because that one of the regions would have more people than other regions doesn't mean it necessarily would be at a disadvantage. But I looked at the map and the population dispersal and everything, and it's pretty equal. Tel Aviv is the only issue, really. And Tel Aviv, a part of it could be, you know, the northern parts of Tel Aviv and the northern suburbs could be part of the central government, or the southern ones could be part of the southern government, you know, Yavne and places like that. So you could meander and draw the map in such a way where you'd have a pretty good – there would still be differences between the south and between between Tel Aviv. But Jerusalem itself, if you include the entire Jerusalem area plus Beit Shemesh, you could probably almost get to the percentage of what there would be in Tel Aviv. And, of course, the north would have less as well, but they would probably have more landmass.
Okay, Joel, I know you have a film to see here. That's why we met at the Cinematheque. And that gives quite a bit of food for thought about what kind of changes could we try and effect in order to make this place work better, not just the Cinematheque, not just Jerusalem, but the whole country as a country. And I see your idea is splitting it up. My feeling is very strong towards the oneness of the country, although I don't think that your idea is in opposition to that, really. It just reforms the structure of the oneness. And I appreciate your time, and I hope you enjoy your movie. Thank you very much, Joel Beinerman. Thank you, Joel.